Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
It's June, and that means commitments for Purdue football, at least a couple so far. We'll break it down on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charter's here, Brian Newbert as well. We'll talk to Tom Deanhart here in just a couple of minutes. But, Brian, let's start off with those commitments. Purdue got a couple of them over the weekend, maybe one overshadowing the other. Tariq Murphy, the four-star Rivals.com recruit from New York. The running back pulls the trigger on the Boilermakers, doing that a little bit after the offensive lineman from Pittsburgh, Josh Kaltenberger, commits to the Boilermakers. Let's start off with maybe the more high-profile guy, although you could make an argument that the offensive line is of pretty critical importance to Purdue as well. Let's talk a little bit about Murphy. Purdue gets sort of its marquee guy, at least the early marquee guy for this 2020 class, and getting a running back who had commitments from a lot of people, narrowed that list down to, I think, 16 in the spring. Maybe you put Notre Dame, Oregon, along with Purdue there toward the finalists, and obviously Purdue being the last man standing. What do you think about Murphy?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, he was a guy. There's a couple positions in every recruiting class every year where things kind of line up for you from a depth chart perspective and whatnot, where it gives you the opportunity to, you know, go out and make a pretty compelling case to a pretty elite player. And, you know, Purdue has that situation this year at running back. And, you know, Purdue really wanted to go get a great one. And as part of that search, I think Tariq Murphy was their guy. He was the guy they wanted, to the point where I think if you took every player in the class of 2020, they're recruiting, and you ranked them one through a million, Tariq Murphy might be up there, you know, in that top five or so. That's just the impression I've gotten anyway.
Yeah.
So that speaks to how badly Purdue wanted this guy. And obviously there's some corroborative evidence that he's a pretty good player too in terms of his rankings and his scholarship offers. And this is sort of a – I mean, the significance of it is obviously remains to be seen, because he has to get to campus and he has to prove to be what everybody seems to think he is. But, you know, for Purdue to go to New York City basically and pull a player in which it doesn't have a natural advantage of convenience like it did with some of the highest profile players in the 2019 class, I think speaks volumes about the fact that, you know, Purdue's momentum is still very much a real thing. And, you know, Purdue is a national draw now more than ever. But also, this kid wants to play and wants to play right away. And, you know, Jeff Brohm's offense at its core should be just as friendly for running backs as it is for, like, wide receivers and skill and other skill position offensive players. I think Murphy probably recognizes that. He talked a lot about his ability to catch the football, and I know that's music to Purdue's ears too, because that's something they really want to be able to use their running backs in doing. Obviously, though, a very high-profile player across the board, and a guy Purdue badly, badly, badly wanted and is probably thrilled to death today to have gotten.
So if these players like Murphy and some others that Purdue has gotten here at the skill positions live up to their rankings and billing coming in, this is the best group of skill position players since when? I mean, could we be talking about this in a couple of years of Purdue really having just – you know, a skill position grouping that ranks with some of the best programs in the country?
That's still a little bit of a mouthful, because Ohio State, Alabama, and them get whoever they want, and they have NFL, not just NFL players in every position, NFL first rounders at a lot of positions. But, you know, to put it into some context, maybe from a Purdue perspective, you know, Purdue had some years there in the mid-2000s when they had Dustin Keller at tight end, you know, Greg Orton, Dorian Bryant, Corey Sheets, lots of unbelievable offensive skill players. And that's the frame of reference that would come to mind to me. But obviously your offensive talent is only as good as the people making it work. And, you know, I think the last couple of years, Jeff Brohm has sort of made the most of what he's inherited and what he's been able to get in recruiting early on. Obviously, Rondell Moore is a big what he's been able to get. But I think, you know, you aren't far off probably from Jeff Brohm having almost ideal personnel for what he wants to do from an offensive perspective at the skill position, at the skill positions on offense. Obviously, you know, Purdue still wants to be able to get a higher caliber of offensive line recruit and wants to be able to get its offensive line settled, which has been a challenge for Purdue coaches from the dawn of time, basically. In terms of the skill positions on offense, Purdue's, you know, putting together quite a group.
Speaking of the offensive lineman, Kaltenberger commits to Purdue last week. Sort of got overshadowed a little bit over the weekend by Murphy's commitment, but a big one nonetheless, you know, at a position, as you said, that Purdue needs to make some strides at. That's the third commitment of an offensive lineman already in this 2020 class. What do you think about Kaltenberger arriving at Purdue, sort of, you know, jumping on that first Power 5 offer that he got? Of course, it comes from the Boilermakers.
Yeah, well, it speaks to, you know, Purdue obviously is prioritizing the interior of the offensive line because this is their third offensive line commit for what is probably going to be a four offensive lineman class, and none of them are tackles unless something unless something changes, and two of them might end up being centers because Gus Hartwig, while he's listed as a guard, might be best suited to be slotted at center. Now, that being said, guard and center are pretty interchangeable. So Kaltenberger, even though he says Purdue recruited him for center, could also end up as a guard. So there's a lot to be sorted out there. Obviously, Kaltenberger was a guy who came to their camp on Monday. Purdue really liked him. Purdue offered him. He jumped on it. You know, I think in the perfect scenario for Purdue, you'd like to be able to get more of your first choices on the offensive line, the guys who are the no-brainers in your mind. Like you are at wide receiver, like you are at the skill positions on offense and so on. But Purdue the last couple of years has relied pretty heavily on its camps for its in-person evaluations and taking guys it likes. Offensive line is really hard because it's really hard to look at an offensive lineman and see what they're going to be in 3 or 4 years and figure out what type of football player they're going to be in 3 or 4 years as well. So, you know, if you get them on your campus – in your camp in person, at least you have some frame of reference on what they can do from a physical perspective. And Purdue obviously liked what it saw in Kaltenberger enough to not only offer him, but offer him right away, whereas they could have waited out the month to see where they are with a lot of other guys and then offer them. Because sometimes with these guys in June, you can get them now or you can get them whenever you want. And Purdue obviously liked him enough to not even play out some other guys before they offered him and probably knowing they were going to get him.
Yeah. All right. So what might be next for this class?
A lot of stuff, you know. Purdue, I'm sure, was in no hurry to fill up all of its scholarships in June. So they brought in all these players for official visits the last couple of weeks. And now I think they're going to ride out a couple of them. Also decide which ones they really like probably and decide which arms to twist, and so on. Some positions that come to mind, obviously things are going to shake out pretty quickly. I would have to think a quarterback. You know, Purdue doesn't have to take a quarterback in this class, but they've got Michael Alamo from New Jersey, the four-star quarterback from North Jersey on campus today for an unofficial. They just had Hunter Deckers from Iowa in for an official visit. A couple weeks before that, they had Chuba Purdy from Arizona in for an unofficial. So that's three quarterbacks all on campus here in the last 2 weeks or so. And every quarterback in the country who's not committed yet is on the clock right now because it's getting late in quarterback terms. So I would have to think, you know, the chances are pretty good Purdue gets a quarterback in the near term. I think you've got some guys who visited here recently who are probably pretty warmed up to decide somewhere, whether it's Purdue or otherwise, that, you know, Purdue is probably going to get its share of cornerback comes to mind. You know, Purdue's had a number of corners. I think Malachi Melton from New Jersey is a guy they're in great shape with. So I think you're probably going to see before the end of June, Purdue's going to get another handful of commitments here and then go into the season and continue to ride out some pretty high-end guys.
You know, we usually talk about this in terms of what positions are priorities. With this smaller than typical class, maybe we should talk about it in terms of what positions are not priorities. What positions will they, you know, maybe, you know, take less or take none at all? Tight end, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like tight end would be a priority, or would they take a player there? Are there any other spots where they feel pretty comfortable with where they are and in a smaller than what we have seen here, at least recently, type of class in 2020 they won't put a premium on?
Yeah, I think priority is relative to your numbers. And I think in a perfect world, you would take at least one of everything in every class for the sake of balance and for the sake of depth. But when you only have X number of scholarships and Purdue is probably working with the low teens right now, realistically, there are positions where you are well stocked on paper anyway, where you can probably get away with not taking anybody. Quarterback is one of them. Now, that being said, if Purdue can get a good one, it's going to take the good one, because I think in the perfect world, you take the quarterback every single year. Tight end is certainly one. I think Purdue swung for the fences with Jonathan Odom from Florida, and he committed to Florida. And outside of that, I think Purdue signed two really good ones last class in Garrett Miller and Kyle Bilodeau, and has Payne Durham in the program for the long term here. Has the position covered this season, obviously, with Bryson Hopkins. So I think that's a position where you essentially signed two classes worth of good tight ends last year. So you can get away with not taking one this year if you want. I don't know where they are at corner. I know they want to take at least one or two, probably, but they did sign a lot of DBs in the last class. But the two positions that come to mind where you can skip should you decide to allocate the scholarships elsewhere would be quarterback and tight end. Obviously, they're recruiting linebacker like it's an absolute priority. The interior of the defensive line obviously is a priority. Defensive line is a priority. Safety is probably one where if you can get one good one, you're probably okay with that. But I know you have high expectations for Jalen Graham and Marvin Grant, and you still have some other guys in the program, Corey Trice and whatnot, who are pretty young, who are going to be around for a while. So safety could be one where you don't have to break your back to get numbers. You can take one good one if you can get them and probably get away with it. But outside of that, you're probably looking at a pretty balanced class outside of those three positions.
Yeah. All right, Brian, was a busy weekend. We'll look for more updates at goldandblack.com. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come in and bring in, that is, Tom Dienhart. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Hey, Kyle Charters here with Tom Deanhart. Talk a little bit of football recruiting. Tom, I know that when Tariq Murphy committed over the weekend, it brought to mind some other high-profile running backs over the years that have committed and then played at Purdue, some with more success once they became Boilermakers than others. You put a list together at goldenblack.com. Who were some of the ones that came to mind for you?
Yeah, you covered pretty long time, Kyle. Four-star running backs, typically don't land in West Lafayette, Indiana, place known as the cradle of quarterbacks. Of course, you all know that's the reputation for Purdue. So getting a recruit at running back of Murphy's ilk is pretty remarkable. And once we saw that news, I got to thinking, who are some of the higher profile running backs Purdue has ever signed, at least in my football watching lifetime, which I date back to about the mid-70s. And a handful of guys came to mind. I'm talking about guys coming out of high school, Kyle, who were big-timers with offers to big-time schools, not guys who got to Purdue as two- or three-star recruits and became great. Plenty of those examples. But, again, guys like Jimmy Smith from Kankakee, Illinois. He was in the same high school class, Kyle, as Eric Dickerson and Craig James, of course. Some people thought Smith was every bit as good as those two. Could have gone anywhere. Reggie Benton, 2001, a kid from Flint, Michigan. Got to campus, flamed out right away during camp. Big-time player, signed with Michigan initially. Things didn't work out and landed at Purdue. And, Joey Harris and Tom Ball, Texas, from 2000 class. Big-time speedster, ran for 1,000 yards 1 year at Purdue. And Tony Vinson, Fred Akers recruit, 1989 from Towson, Maryland, ended up playing in the NFL. Didn't work out at Purdue for him. He transferred 2000 state and finished. And then, of course, Kyle, you had a guy, Alteric McBurse. I think the class of 2009 was a four-star recruit. He ended up playing at Florida A&M after he left Purdue. I went back and looked at his page, though, too, Kyle. He was a four-star recruit, but his list of offers was not overly impressive.
Yeah, he was a four-star guy, but maybe not your typical four-star guy. Did make a big play at Purdue with a kick return. Didn't really develop into much as a running back, though, during his short tenure as a Boilermaker. But he's a good one to put on the list, I think, because he did come with at least sort of that four-star label to him as well. You cover the team in its current form, obviously, very closely. Purdue's issues on the interior of the offensive line. It does not shock you then, with where they stand right now, to know that not only is Purdue making the offensive line a priority in this 2020 class, but making the interior of it more specifically so.
Yeah, five commits so far for the class of 2020, Kyle. Three of those offensive linemen, right? And the latest being the Josh Kaltenberger kid from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Seneca Valley High School. A 6A high school, the largest classification in Pennsylvania. And any football fan out there worth their weight knows Western Pennsylvania football is big-time football. So what I'm trying to say here is this kid plays football at a very high level in a very competitive area of the country. So he's going to come with his teeth sharpened. I spoke to his head coach last Friday, shortly after Purdue got the commitment. I'll have a piece on the site today. Had the coach talk about, the kid Kaltenberger's skill set and whatnot. And, he checks all the boxes. Terrific young man, of course. GPA, the coach said, of over 4.0, like a 4.2, 4.3 kid taking honors classes. So they're getting not just a good player, but obviously a good student and a good individual. And like you said, these are three interior linemen they have now. And Kaltenberger, I guess, projects to the center. I guess so does Gus Hartwig. So if that's the case, Purdue has some tall centers, Kyle, 6'5" centers, big fellas. But we'll see where everybody ends up. But right now, Purdue's got some good-looking guys to insert on the interior here and in future years, it looks like.
I know on the site here this weekend, next, you're putting up your top 10 stories of the year at Purdue now that the athletic season has come to an end. It was a pretty good year. I mean, there's going to be some competition. There were some – back when I did that, Tom, there were some lean years as far as positive stories go. I'll just say that. You get a little bit better year here to break some of these things down. I don't know if you want to give us a preview without giving away your list, but there are some pretty good stories there. I mean, Carson Edwards is an individual. Rondell Moore is an individual. Tyler Trent.
Yeah.
The Ohio State game as a whole. Purdue, Virginia. I mean, you can list off a bunch of those things. I would imagine that you have a pretty good selection to choose from.
Yeah, you're exactly right. No shortage of good storylines from the 2018-2019 academic school year there at Purdue. You hit a lot of the major ones, of course. Basketball-wise, you know, when you talked about Carson Edwards, another All-American season, an Elite Eight appearance by the team, first since 2000, a Big Ten title. Second in, 3 years, football-wise, Rondell Moore, if any Purdue freshman ever had a bigger impact than Moore. The only other true freshmen were All-Americans consensus in the history of college football. You know, Herschel Walker and Adrian Peterson, Kyle. I mean, that's the kind of company Rondell Moore's hanging out with right now. So you're right. A lot of good storylines, some non-football, non-basketball stories as well. So people who know, follow the university, the women's golf team and tennis has had a real special player as well. So, yeah, start counting those down today. Five this week, five next week. And like you said, unlike you, Kyle, there were no shortage of good stories from the Purdue Athletic Department this year. I probably could have gone 15 deep, really.
Yeah, probably could have. Well, look forward to the list, Tom.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it, Kyle.
All right, we'll take another break here on the show. We'll be back here in just a moment, put a wrap on this one. We'll do that here in just a second on Gold and Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Charter team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217. Or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And a big week in Purdue recruiting, a couple of commitments over the weekend. More on those two at goldandblack.com and follow-ups as well, including on the other visitors from the past few days and through the last week. Be sure to check that out on the site. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charter's team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the Sixth Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. Back again next Monday for more. Perhaps Purdue will get another commitment or two in the next week. All right, for Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Chargers. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.